Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8 is where we'll begin. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ and before his ascension, Jesus was speaking to the disciples, and his very last words, his very last command, was these words to them. Verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these words, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask you to help us tonight as we look to your word, that you would speak to our hearts from it, please. We need you. I cannot do it, but you can speak to us, and you can change us and help us and let our lives affect more people. Please do that tonight, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. The title of the message tonight is perhaps a very obvious one from the passage of Scripture that we read. And I've simply entitled the message this: don't just stand there. Don't just stand there. There are times when we ought to stand still and we're to be near unto the Lord. But there are times when God wants us to be going and busy and working and telling others about Jesus Christ. We know that he's promised us in Matthew chapter 28 to go with us always. When he gave the Great Commission, Matthew 28, he said, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." As he told them to go ye therefore and preach the gospel, he said, "I'll be with you." So there are times when he wants us certainly to stand still and just be near the Lord, but there are times where he wants us to be going to our neighbors, or going in a community, or going to some people and telling them about Christ. And he promises to go with us when we do so. When we go soul winning, or when we go witnessing, God goes with us. And he wants us to be going. Not standing still, but to be going. To be going. Again, we saw there in verse 8, he said, "You'll receive power, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." They were supposed to tell others, be witnesses of what Christ had done for them. Be witnesses of the things that the Lord Jesus Christ had done in their life. Look at the verses there. Some of you came in late, Ashley, and why don't you grab your Bible now and open it, and let's look at these verses here together. Okay, it says in verse number 9, Acts chapter 1 and verse 9, "And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by him in white apparel, two angels, which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven?'" Jesus had ascended. Jesus had just given them a command and told them something to do. He said, why are you just standing there gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which he saw go away and ascend into heaven, he's coming back. He's going to return. Listen, when Jesus Christ has given us a command, let's be busy doing what he has commanded us to do. Let's not just stand there gazing up into heaven. We're to look for his appearing, and we're to be looking for his second coming. But we're also to be busy working for our Lord Jesus Christ as we wait for his return. Let's not stand idle. Let's not stand idly by doing nothing. Turn with me back to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. And let's look there at verse number 1. Matthew 20 and verse 1. Notice this, the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. What's a laborer? A laborer is a worker. A laborer is someone with a job to do. Right? And it says this, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto..." In other words, you know what? There are some things in the spiritual kingdom. There are some things in God's kingdom that are like unto this parable. And there are some things sometimes that for us in God's kingdom, as God's children and as God's people, there are some things that when he shares parables, he's trying to relay a spiritual truth through an earthly story. And there are some ways that we could, if you think, we could even apply this to us And again, how we are to be laborers in God's vineyard and laborers in God's harvest. But he says this, verse 1, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others doing what? Standing idle in the marketplace. And said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way." He said there will be a certain compensation. There will be a certain reward. There will be a certain compensation for the labor and for the work that you do. It says in verse number 5, "Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive." I understand this isn't the main teaching of this parable, but can I tell you something? We've all been hired. When you got saved, you're hired. You're part of the family business. We're to be laborers. We're to be workers. We have a job to do. And in that job, God doesn't want to find us standing idle, standing there doing nothing. He wants to find us busy. He wants to find us serving him and doing the work that he's given us to do. In the Lord's business, it's a family business. God cares about the souls of men, and so he sent his son, Jesus Christ. Luke 19:10 says about Jesus, he came to seek and to save the lost. Why? Because that was the family business. God and God's son, Jesus Christ, were all about trying to reach the lost so they could know the truth, so they could know of the Savior, so they could be saved. That's a family business. And you and I have a job to do in that family business. When I got saved, I was hired into the family business. We were driving, we'd been up north Thanksgiving Day, and while we were there with my sister and my mom, and I ended up going to the cemetery where my parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and some of those people are buried, and spent some time there. But afterwards, we ended up driving through Barrie. I got distracted and forgot why I was going to tell you we drove through Barrie. What did I see going through Barrie? Oh, that's hilarious. I was going to tell you something, and now I forgot it. Oh, I know what it was. It was important. When we were driving through Barrie, I was pointing things out. It was so amazing how the memories are of. I remember times as a kid going to a certain section of Barrie there with my mom, and even after my dad passed away, my mom continued to be a bus captain, and my older brothers and sisters were college age or gone, but still me and my mom would go on a Saturday and we'd visit a certain section of town, and we would try to invite people to ride the bus and come to church and so on. And I remember we drove through this section of town, and I remembered so many things and places and so on. But I drove by and showed the kids the park where I, as a boy, got to lead another boy to Jesus Christ. That was the first person in my life that I ever won to Christ. But I remember it, have a visual memory of there at that park, you know, right where the park is there in Barrie. When I, as a boy, had some concern for another boy at the park, and I was probably, you know, maybe 12 years old, something like that. And I then began to share about Jesus Christ with that other boy at the park. And that other boy prayed and trusted Christ as a Savior there with me at the park. You know what? I got into the family business when I got saved. We're all in the family business. We're to care about the lost. And God will reward us for that. We ought to work diligently to try to bring souls to the Savior. And God will reward us for laboring for Him in the harvest of souls. Let's not just stand around idle. In this story, there were some that were standing around idle, but the person said, "I'm looking for some workers. I want some laborers in the vineyard. I need some people to do a job, and I'll give you a fair pay at the end and so on, but I need some laborers, I need some workers." And so he hired some. He didn't want them standing around idle. He was looking for some people to work. Hey, as Christians, we're in God's business, and we ought to be in the business of trying to reach lost souls for Jesus Christ. Turn with me back to Psalm 126, if you would. Psalm 126 and verse number 5. Psalm 126 and verse 5. Here in the book of Psalms, God compares it to, again, a harvest of grain, if you will. Psalm 126 and verse number 5, the Bible says this: "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." God says, we sow, we're going to reap. We're going to reap, and we'll reap in joy. You know what? It does bring incredible joy to win someone to Jesus Christ. I wish you could see someone saved every time you sow the seed, but it doesn't happen that way. We understand there's a lot of people that will reject the gospel and reject the truth. But listen, you sow the seed of the gospel to enough people, you'll find somebody that will respond and whose heart will be ready, that they will be willing to listen to the gospel message. They'll be willing to listen what you have to share with them, and they will receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. God promises that in His Word. "They that sow in tears shall reap. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed." What's the seed? I believe it's the seed of the Word of God, the seed of the gospel. We're to share that with people. And when we do that, when we go and we weep and we bear precious seed, the Bible says we shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing His sheaves with Him. And God compares in the Bible the business of trying to win lost souls to Jesus Christ as to that of sowing the seed of the gospel and trying to gather a spiritual harvest. And we need to do that. We can understand that you won't necessarily every time or every week even, you won't see someone get saved. But you know what? We need to take this seed and faithfully share the seed, faithfully plant the seed, faithfully share the gospel with everybody we can. Why? Because that's the family business. We can't save anybody. Only God can do that. But our business is to try to share the gospel, try to plant the seed, try to give people the truth. Why? So they have an opportunity to respond to that. Jesus Christ, we said He came to the earth to seek and to save the lost. Turn with me back to John chapter number 4. John chapter 4, and that's just where we're going to stay for the rest of the message. John chapter 4. We're to be a part of that family business of trying to win the lost to Jesus Christ, trying to be witnesses for our Savior, to tell others about Him, to tell others the gospel, to tell others that Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty for their sin, so they could be saved. Here in John chapter 4 and verse number 1. John chapter 4 and verse 1. Notice what it says about our Lord. John 4, 1. "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria." On his way to get from Judea into Galilee, he was going to have to pass through an area called Samaria. It's interesting, the Jews wouldn't have necessarily liked that. They didn't like the Samaritans. They didn't like the Samaritans. But Jesus said, "I must needs go through Samaria." The Jews in that day, they would have passed all the way around Samaria. Instead of just taking the highway right through Samaria, no, taking the road right through Samaria to get to where they wanted to go, they would completely avoid it and pass around. They wanted nothing to do with the Samaritans. They hated them. They did not care for them at all. But Jesus said, "I must needs go through Samaria." You know why? Because Jesus had a divine appointment there. Jesus knew amongst those Samaritans where there was people that a lot of the Jews didn't like, and even a lot of the religious Jews would not like, there was somebody there that He was supposed to reach. Somebody there that needed what He had to give. And He must needs go through Samaria. Why? Well, because He was in the family business to seek and to save the lost. And that meant He was going to have to go there to try to influence someone. It says in verse 5, "Then cometh He to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For His disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto Him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Hey, Jesus was the water of life. Jesus was the one that could truly satisfy any thirst and any quenching in the soul, because he was the one that could make a difference for eternity. He was the only one that could offer everlasting life and quench any thirsting of the soul. Jesus went through Samaria. Why? Because he was in the family business. There was somebody there that he was seeking for. We hear a lot of times about people being seekers. And I understand sometimes people are more ready and they're more looking to know the truth and so on than others. But truthfully, the seeker is God. The seeker is Christ. He is always seeking to save the lost and wants them to come to him. And so he went through Samaria. Why? Because he knew at that well that day he'd meet a woman who needed him, needed the gospel, needed the truth, needed to discover who the water of life truly was. And there was a lady that day whose life was changed. Why? Jesus cared enough to go through that way and to try to share with her the truth. We all ought to be a part of that business. He went through to there, Samaria, because he had a divine appointment there. A woman at the well needed to be saved. Do we believe that God can give us divine appointments? Do you believe that God can bring you across the path of people that need to hear the gospel? I believe he can. Some of you that know Pastor Palace, he's a good friend to us, and he'll say that often to people. And I believe he's right. I believe it's true. He'll say, do you believe that God knows who in your neighborhood is not saved? Well, of course he does. Do you believe that God even knows, you know, who's the one that's maybe searching right now? Who's the one that's more open than others right now and maybe searching for something in their life? Well, of course he does. If God knows the person who's lost, and God knows the person who's searching in their life for truth, and God knows where you are tonight, and God knows where they are tonight, and you're the one with the gospel, and you're the one with the message, and you're the one who could share the Savior with them, then don't you think that if we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, that God could bring us to cross paths with people in our lives who God could use us to witness to? Because God knows those who are lost. God knows that you know the truth and you know the gospel, and you're the one who could share it with them if you're willing to. If we'll be bold enough to share it. Don't you think that God can bring us across the paths of some people who might be right at the time and place in their life that they need us to share the gospel with them? I believe he can do that. But we need to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Listen to his prodding in our life, and then yield, and then be bold enough to speak and share. God can do that. If we've been saved, we're not just to stand there idle. We need to go and tell others what Jesus Christ has done for us. Look further down in the chapter to verse 28. We won't read through the whole story, but this lady, we understand she does come to Christ, and Christ comes to her, and she discovers who the water of life truly is. Her life is changed that day. She gets saved. She believes. And there in John 4:28, it says, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? And they went out of the city and came to him. You know what she was doing? She was witnessing, just like Acts 1:8 told us. She was going and being a witness of the things that Jesus Christ had just done in her life. She was being a witness for Christ. This is what Jesus Christ has just done. These are the things that Jesus Christ has just told me. This is the difference that Jesus Christ has made in my life. And she went back to the city telling some men what happened in her meeting with Jesus. And they then too went searching for Jesus. Why? Because of her witness. Because of her testimony to some other people. Look down a bit further to verse 39 and see the results. Because of one woman who meets Jesus and she gets saved, and then she goes back to her city and witnesses to some other people. What happens? Verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all things that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Listen, that lady's witness, that lady's testimony made a difference in the lives of some other people who then went looking for Jesus, and Jesus saved them. Others believed and others got saved. And it started with Christ doing what he ought to do, being in the family business, seeking the lost. But then a woman who went and testified, and a woman who went and witnessed to others about what Jesus did for her. And others believed and others got saved as a result. Listen, if we've been saved, we're not just to stand there idle. That's not what the woman at the well did. She didn't just stand there idle. My grandma Lemieux, she used to love to tell the story of the woman at the well. And I heard her tell it in French many times and never really understood much at all. But she would walk across the room and she would, you know, have her water pots and so on. And my grandma Lemieux, she lived with us in the last years of her life and so on. And she would recite the story of the woman at the well and tell the story of the woman at the well. And sometimes she would try to tell it to some other neighbors or tell it to some of her older children that she was concerned whether they were saved or not. And she loved to tell this story. Again, because of what Christ had done in her life. But can I tell you something? We're not to stand idle. Just like this woman at the well who she didn't, when she got saved, when she found Christ and Christ found her and her life was changed, she didn't just stand there and do nothing about it. She went back and told some people. She went back and witnessed and testified to others about what Jesus had done for her. Let's not just stand there idle. Let's go and tell others what Christ has done for us. Let's not just stand idle when a great harvest of souls needs to be reached. Let's read just a few more verses there. I want you to see what Jesus said in John 4:35. John 4:35. Say not ye. And actually, if we back up to verse 33, we see it's Jesus now speaking to his disciples. The woman at the well, she's gotten busy. She's gotten saved and she's run to tell other people in the city what Jesus did. And he speaks to his disciples now. Those ones who were always around him and always wanted to spend time with him. And they were sitting at his feet and they were learning from him. He's almost challenging them to follow the example of the woman at the well. Go and tell. Go and tell. He says in John 4:35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. He's saying, look, there's a harvest all around. There are people all around that need to know the truth. There are people all around that need to know the gospel and need to know about me and need to know the truth about the Savior. Go and tell them there's a harvest to be gathered. Verse 36 says this, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. There's rewards and so on for being a soul winner, for gathering the fruit, for gathering lost souls. Sometimes people sow, though, and sometimes people reap, though, don't they? Sometimes we sow the seed, sometimes another person reaps later on. It says in verse 37, and herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap, that whereon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman. Jesus, in speaking to his disciples, says, hey, there's a harvest that needs to be gathered. There are souls. This example of what takes place with the woman at the well, and she goes and testifies, and she goes and witnesses, and many in that city do believe. That's just a drop in the bucket compared to what the harvest is like. There are people in our city. There are people in the next village. There are people in every town, in every city that God wants to be saved, and that Jesus died on the cross for, and he wants them to be saved. And we need to go, and we need to tell them, and we need to be good witnesses for our Savior. Let's not just stand idle. Let's not stand idle. Let's be busy. In Matthew 9:37, the Bible says, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. In other words, he says, there's a great harvest. The fields are ready. They're white unto harvest, and the harvest is plenteous. He says, but the laborers are few. You know what I think another problem is sometimes along with that, besides the fact that the laborers are few, is that the laborers are idle. Laborers are standing idle when they need to go out into the field. my Uncle Bob. My Uncle Bob and Aunt Jean, they're quite elderly, but he's been a farmer all his life, and he is still farming a little bit of crops and so on. And you know what? For the last few weeks, he's been trying to gather in a crop of soybeans. But he's had problems because of weather and so on, getting out into the fields. The grain all has to be ready and so on, and you don't want it to be destroyed by bad weather and so on. So there's a lot of things at play in that. But he's been busy in the hospital. He's been troubled by bad weather. And he's not been able to get out in those fields and gather those crops like he needs to. You know, sometimes in the harvest for souls, people are busy with a lot of things that the harvest gets lost. Because maybe people are standing idly by, or maybe because they're too busy with other things that some of the harvest is never gathered. And souls are lost, and people die without Christ. Why? Because we didn't tell them. My mom, I was talking to her on the phone a couple days ago, and I think for 4 weeks in a row, my mom's been to a funeral, different funerals, and a couple of them, she said, have even been for young people, a 20-year-old person and 22-year-old person, and people there that she knew from Aurelia and so on. Of course, we hear about, listen, young people are dying all the time. Old people are dying all the time. Young people are dying all the time. And if someone dies without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they are lost for all eternity. Listen, we need to be serious about gathering the harvest. Too many are standing around watching for the Lord's return, or they're busy with other things. Sometimes people are watching for the Lord's return and they got their eyes on the skies, but they're not doing anything to tell their neighbors. Listen, we need to tell our neighbors. We need to tell them who it is we're watching for. There in Acts chapter 1, the angel said to him, why stand ye there gazing up into the sky? Listen, let's not be a bunch of Christians that we're, oh, I hope Jesus comes back. I'm ready for Jesus to come back. Well, our neighbor's not ready for Jesus to come back. And our co-worker's not ready for Jesus to come back. We need to tell them who it is we're watching for. And who it is. You know, why do you live the way you do? Why are you so serious about being a Christian and living for God? Well, it's because we believe the Savior's coming back. But people who don't know the Savior, they're going to be lost forever. Let's not just stand with our eyes on the sky, or stand idly by, or get too overwhelmed or too busy with other things that we neglect the harvest. Let's share the gospel. Let's pass out gospel tracts. Let's be like that woman at the well who, when she found Jesus Christ and Jesus found her and she got saved, she went a-witnessing. She went a-telling others that Jesus had made a great difference in her life. And others got saved because of it. God can use you too. God can use all of us, and He wants to. Let's not just stand idle. Let's not just stand there. Let's go and let's tell others about our Savior. Let's pray together.